Can I just maybe ease our way into them by telling you a little story that will, a couple of stories that will kind of, I suppose, display the theme or a theme that emerges in them. It is actually, I remember coming up on the train today, that was 22 years ago today that I came back from Canada and arrived in Inishbofin. And after spending the summer in Inishbofin, I came out to the mainland, and by Christmas time, I ended up in the Angus Return renting a cottage there, and it was owned by Lynn, a young woman called Lynn Prynne. And after a couple of years, she got married, and one day above in the orchard on the morning side of an apple tree, she said to me that she had good news for me, or she said she had news for me, and I said, is it good news? And she said, yeah. And she said she was pregnant. And so I just put my hand on her tummy and I said to the baby, keep coming. You know, I mean, now that you've come this far, come all the way, come out into our orchard, come out and you too stand on the morning side of the apple tree. And a few months later, a child was born, and a baby girl was born, and it was Sarah. And one of the great experiences of my life was watching Lynn being a mother, you know, watching her, you know, I hadn't experienced this before. And sometimes her husband works in the oil rig, so he would be 3 weeks at home and 3 weeks gone. So from the beginning, I was in very close contact with little Sarah. I was just at the other side of the big yard, the long, long big yard, and looking at it now from Sarah's point of view, it must have been a hugely long, great yard to Sarah. My cottage was on the other side of that long yard. So there were times like when Lynn, after a couple of weeks, was already able to go and play badminton in Roundstone, and almost from the first fortnight, I would be find myself babysitting little Sarah. So I got to know her. And it was wonderful watching Lynn, and Lynn being a mother, and watching Lynn and Simon being parents, and myself being, in a sense, a kind of parent, and Veronica Folan, and a lot of us, like, she grew up into little Sarah was born into a world where there were a lot of fathers and a lot of mothers, you know. And so, I mean, the heart chakra kind of blossomed because of this little, the presence of this little baby in the yard. And Lynn, from the very beginning, didn't give the child fear, you know, didn't communicate fear or terror to the child. And the little child could, when she was able to crawl, she would crawl out and up into the garden, she would crawl out into the yard. And then finally she was able to walk. And there's one wonderful photograph of her. She's out in the yard on a summer day, and there are daisies in the yard. The yard is kind of green. It's a summer day, and there's a mare, Nina, kind of half Palomino, I think, mare, and her foal feeding out of buckets in the yard. They're eating their meal out of two buckets in the yard. And little Sarah is out there, and she's walking now. She's able to walk now, and she's dressed only in one red shoe, and it's an intensely red shoe. That is the only garment that she's wearing on this gorgeous, wonderful summer day. And little Sarah, who isn't taught, so it's a lovely paradisal scene. Little Sarah, who hasn't been taught fear, decides she wants to go over and make contact with the horses, and she's just gone over. And you see her wanting to make physical contact with the mare, and the mare is aware of little Sarah, so she's pulled her head up out of the bucket she's eating from, and she's looking at Sarah, and Sarah reaches out and touches the mare's nostrils, and someone at that moment, you know, had a camera and took a photograph of it. Now, it is a gorgeous photograph, because you remember Michelangelo's painting in the Sistine Chapel, where you have Adam reaching up and God reaching down, and there's a synapse between the two. You know, Adam's hand and God's hand do not touch. There is an ontological gulf, according to Christian theology, between the human and the divine. And Michelangelo was very careful not to close them, even though one would imagine like that the incarnation would have allowed him to close that gap, but he didn't close the gap. But here, the gap between the human and the animal was beautiful. There was no synapse. When little Sarah reached out to touch the animal, there was no synapse. There was no gulf. There was no ontological or psychological or physical gulf between Sarah and the little and the mare. And so you see them touching, and so it was that's why, like, it was such a wonder watching little Sarah. And a time came one night when I had a knocking at my door. Sarah would already, in the daytime, she would come across to my little place, and she would always come in, and she'd say, she learned to not only to walk, but she learned to talk, and she was delighted with her own words. And then she would say, hello, John, when she came in, like, hello, John, cup tea, not hot, nice and warm, you know, so mm-hmm. I would sit down and make the tea for her, and we would have the tea, the two of us would have whatever was going, like. And one night she arrived across the I had a little knocking at my door, and she arrived across the big long yard, and she had a note from Lynn saying, Lynn, someone wanted me on the phone. So I thought, my God, you know, she's growing, you know, the bunny girl is young and she's growing. And there was, so she would often come to see me, and there was sometimes there would be 8 or 9 horses in the yard, more horses, ponies, half horses, half ponies in the yard. And there was an old mare among them called Krishla, and she was quite elderly now, and she was gone short in the teeth, and she wasn't able maybe for the rough mountain grasses. And so she had to learn to be cute. So she would know that I was in the kitchen. My gable door gave onto the yard, and she would know that I was in my kitchen having my supper or my breakfast or whatever it was. And she would come and stand shoulder deep in my door, in my black door, stand shoulder deep in it, and she would hoof the high threshold, and I would butter a slice of bread and give it to her, and then I'd butter a slice of bread for myself, like, and give that to me, and then I'd butter another slice of bread for her, and I'd give it to her. And between the two of us, like, very often we would go through a loaf of bread, me and Krishla, you know. One day, anyway, this is what was happening. I was having my supper, and Krishla was shoulder deep in the door, hoofing the high threshold, and I was buttering bread, and I had given her quite a few slices and given myself a couple of slices, and I was going with yet another slice to Krishla, having buttered it, when I saw little Sarah was standing right behind the mare's hooves, and I thought, my God. All I could do was freeze and just do nothing. I didn't even give the slice of bread I had to Krishla, and I hope that Sarah will now back away, because one wrong move and that mare might lash out and Sarah will be dead. So I just froze totally, and I hoped that Sarah would freeze and go. But Sarah had come, and I could see, just looking out sideways between the mare and the jamb of the door, I could see that Sarah had brought her great teddy bear, her great brown teddy bear, Teddy Moore, she was called it, under her arm. But little Sarah had come, like, to John's house, and she saw one of the friendly mares in the door, like, and little Sarah, you know, I thought, well, she still wants to come and see John. I could only imagine what she was thinking. And having come and seen the mare in the door, she didn't back away. I saw her just move the teddy bear from her right arm to her left arm, and then she just, with her free right hand, she eased the tail aside of the great black pouring tail of the mare. She just eased the tail aside and walked between the hind legs of the mare, and then walked up between the tits of the horse, and then the sag in the belly. You know, I saw her walking under the sag in the belly, and finally she emerged, you know, standing there between the two forelegs of the mare in the door, and she looked in. And of course, the kitchen was kind of darkened by the presence now of the mare in the doorway. But it took her a while to make out that I was standing there, and she said, "Hello, John." And then I saw her put a little, you know, her right arm around the right foreleg of the mare, and she hauled herself up under the high threshold, getting her right leg purchased on it, and then she pulled the next leg up, and she came in, and the great mare looking down on her, and little Sarah walked in with her teddy bear, and she came into the kitchen and said, "Hello, John, cup tea, not hot, nice and warm." Now, can I maybe just leave that there and tell another story, another little story?